Welcome to Shir and Svarno, Parshas Kisavo. The Shir this evening is co-sponsored by Heather Aram in memory of her father, Aaron Chait. It's also sponsored by Chaim Meir and Aliza Mermelstein in memory of his grandmother, Rivka Bas Yitzchok Yaakov. The Neshamos should have an Aliyah, should be much nachas ruach in the Torah, mitzvahs, and ma'isim tovim that the family are involved in. I want to see a few comments that the Svarno shares with regard to the Parsha in Kisavo that follows the Parsha of Vidu Maisros, which we spoke about last night. So this is Perek Chavav. Pasuk Tes Zayin. Hayom Hazeh, today, Hashem Elokecha Mitzavcha Lasos Esachukim Ho'ela V'Esamishpotim. Kodesh Baruch Hu is commanding you today to perform these mitzvos, shomarto v'osisa osam b'chol levavcha u'v'chol nafshecha. You should guard them and perform them with all your heart and all of your soul. Es Hashem hamarto hayom li'os l'chol Elohim v'laleches bedrachav. You have singled out HaKadosh Baruch Hu today to be your God, to walk in His path, l'shmar chukav mitzvos u'mishpatav v'shmua b'kolo, to guard His laws, to listen to His voice. Hashem emircha hayom, lios lo liam skula. Hashem has singled you out today, that you should be a treasured nation to Him. Kasher diber loch, as He spoke to you, v'lishmar kol mitzvosav, and that you should guard all of His mitzvos. V'lisidcha elyon kol agoyim asher osa l'sihilo l'shem l'sifaris. And Hashem will make you supreme over all of the nations which He created. You'll be a source of praise, and you will be a holy nation to Hashem your God, just as Hashem has said. What is the focus of these four psukim? They clearly speak about that something unique is happening right now. They clearly speak about some kind of special relationship which exists between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. But on the surface, there doesn't seem to be anything unique which is being added in these four psukim that we don't know already. By the time we get to Parshas Kisavo and Devarim, we realize that there's a special relationship between Hashem and the Jewish people. We realize that it's important to keep mitzvos. We realize that if we keep mitzvos, we will be elevated. I mean, these are not things that are particularly novel by the time we get to this point of the Chumash. So what is being added over here that we didn't necessarily know before? So the Svarno comments, Hayom Azeh, this day, Sha'ato Nichnas Imo Labris. Today you are entering into a covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, the Svarno understands these four psukim, which are at the end of Perek Chavav, as really being a preface to Perek Chavzayim, which describes how when Klal Yisrael come into Eretz Yisrael, they're going to hew out stones upon which the Torah is written. They will enter into a covenant at Har Grizim and Har Eval, which is described later on in the Perek. And then finally, in Perek Chavches, the Tochecha, which describes that if we keep the mitzvos, we will be rewarded. If we don't keep the mitzvos, Rachmana Litzlan, we're going to be punished. So all of this, all these four psukim now are introducing all of this, which is the krisas habris, the entering into the covenant, which is going to be signified by all of these events. According to this interpretation, you have to understand that the words hayom hazeh, this day, are not referring to the day on which these words are communicated by Moshe Rabbeinu to Klal Yisrael, because the actual krisas habris, the actual entering into the covenant, is really going to happen when they come into Eretz Yisrael, but it's describing when that day comes, it will be a day on which this relationship is going to be solidified. Inyan Habris, you have to understand, so let's talk a little bit about what a covenant means, says the Svarno in interpreting the Psukim. The concept of the covenant is Shuhakel Yisparach Mitzav Cholasos Yisachukim V'amishpatim L'tov Lach. Kodesh Baruch Hu is giving you these mitzvos for your own benefit. V'ato mekabel aleihem l'shomram b'chol levavcha. And you're accepting them with all of your heart. That is to say, shetakir b'li shum sofek Shiroi lasos ritzono. What does it mean that you're accepting the covenant with all of your heart, to do the mitzvahs with all your heart? It means that you have no doubts that it is appropriate to do Hashem's will. It's not a wager. It's not that you think that, well, this is probably a good idea. This is likely a good idea. This might be a good idea. Probably a good idea. No. You're committed without any doubts, intellectually, to the idea that it's appropriate to do Hashem's will in this world. And b'chol nafshecha, what does it mean that you're serving Hashem with all of your soul? Shelo yoniyoscha koach misave, biyoscha makir malos mishetziva v'toeles mitzvosav. B'chol nafshecha means that you shouldn't be swayed by any desires that you have in the world. So b'chol levavcha, according to the Sfarno, with all of your heart, is intellectual. We know that in Hebrew the word lev, really, although it's often translated as heart, often and maybe always, really signifies the mind. So you're committed to Hashem with all of your mind. You're committed to Hashem without any doubts that the right thing to do in life is to follow the Torah. V'chol nafshecha, and with all of your soul, meaning that you rein in whatever temptations might try to sway you from this bris. And the pasuk then continues, as Hashem hamarta hayom, you have set aside HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you've singled him out today, which means, says the Sfarno, kishekibalto alecha likanes bibris b'shvuas ha'olam, when you accept, as you will later on, you're not doing it right now, but when you accept later on at Hargrizim and Hareva, with the oaths that you're going to come into the bris, the covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he'emarta viromamto esakel yisbarach bozeh, you have elevated HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this fashion. There's a debate among Mefarshim what the word he'emarta means exactly. We translate it as you've singled him out. But the Sfarno seems to understand it in the sense of you've elevated Hashem. How you elevate Hashem? We don't have the power to elevate Hashem. It means that we've elevated Hashem in our eyes. Shiyya yoser nichbar etzlecha kiyam ritzon mikol tuv gashmi. We've elevated Hashem in our eyes to the point where we value doing Hashem's will to a greater extent than we do any material benefit in this world. That's on some level, the Sfarno is explaining in the Psukim, the value of the bris, of the covenant that we're going to enter into when we come to Har Grizim and Har Eva. One might ask, what's the whole point of the ceremony in Har Grizim and Har Eva? What's this whole point of accepting these curses and these blessings upon us? I mean, we already swore at Har Sinai that we're going to keep the Torah. So what more is there to add to that? So the Sfarno seems to be saying that at Har Grizim and Har Eva, it's not so much that intellectually we're adding anything to the commitment that we already made at Har Sinai, but on an emotional level, when we experience the brachos and klalos that are being described at Har Grizim and Har Eva, it causes us in our minds to elevate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Es Hashem hamarto hayom, you've raised up Hashem in your eyes, lios lecha leilokim. He will be a God to you. He was always your God. You always recognize that he was God. But now, you're elevating him even more in your eyes, and it will make it that much harder to deviate from the mitzvos simply for the material benefit that you might get in this world. So, you'll recognize all of that. At the same time, Hashem hamircha hayom. Hashem has elevated you today. Again, just continuing with that translation of elevation. You know, hamarto and hamircha, as from the lashon of elevating. Hashem hamircha hayom. Hashem has lifted you up and has elevated you today. How so? B'mashu nichnas bebris imecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is entering into a covenant with you, the Jewish people, something which he has not done with any other nation. He has bestowed upon you, continues the Sfarno, a special quality, that is, Lioso Liam Skula, that you should be a treasured nation. The mandate of mankind trying to achieve the Tzelem Elokim, being in the image of God, is something which Klal Yisrael have a much better chance of being able to achieve. The mitzvahs that we have make it easier for us to achieve that lofty goal of trying to be in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's what it means that we're an Am Segula. And furthermore, V'lishmar kol mitzvosav. He also, what is it? The pasuk literally translates as an infinitive. And to keep all of his mitzvos. The truth is the grammar in the pasuk is a little clumsy on the surface. Hashem ha'mircha ayom. Hashem has singled you out or elevated you today. Liosla liam skula. That you should be a treasured nation. V'lishmar kol mitzvosav. And to keep all of his mitzvos. What does that phrase attach itself to? So the Sfarno explains as follows. Hashem elevated you that you should be an Am Segula, that you have this unique opportunity to achieve the role or the level of Tzelem Elokim in a way in which the other nations of the world find it harder to achieve that level. V'lishmar kol mitzvosav, and Hashem has also singled you out and elevated you that you should keep, insofar as you keep his mitzvahs. And he writes as follows, V'nosan l'cha gam kein ma'lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you a special property, b'ma shebachar b'cha l'shmar kol mitzvosav. He chose you to guard all of his mitzvahs. And we'll see in a moment, the Svarno reads the pasuk in such a way that there's a particular emphasis on the word kol, all of his mitzvahs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose you, Klal Yisrael, to keep all of his mitzvos, as opposed to other nations who only keep some of his mitzvos. You keep all of his mitzvos, other nations keep some of his mitzvos. We'll elaborate in just a moment. Asher bom timtzochein be'enav. By keeping all of the mitzvos, you find favor in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it's a wonderful thing that you have the opportunity to keep all of the mitzvos. However, Sha'ar ha'umos etzlo bilti muchanim uruyim lazeh. The rest of the nations, in God's eyes, are not ready or fit to be able to keep all of the mitzvos. I'm going to skip a line here and come back to it. Uvechein einam reuyim lishmar kol mitzvosof. So thus, the non-Jewish nations are not prepared to be able to observe all of God's mitzvos, again, emphasis on the all, elok tzosom bilvad, they're only poised to be able to observe some of the mitzvos, shehem mitzvos b'nei noach, that these are the mitzvos, the sheva mitzvos, b'nei noach. So aren't you lucky, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made you special, such that you can keep all of the mitzvos Hashem intended, not simply some of them, the way he gave to the rest of the nations of the world. Now, that in its own right is an interesting way of reading the pasuk. In other words, that the emphasis here is on that Klal Yisrael keep all of the mitzvos, the nations of the world only keep some of the mitzvos. But in the line that I skipped, the Sfarno has a very brief comment, which I think lends itself to a lot of discussion, even though, again, the Sfarno, in his very terse way, simply throws out the line and doesn't really, you know, work out for us all of the implications of this line. How do we know that the rest of the nations in the world are, in the words of the Sfarno, bilti muchanim uruyim lazeh, they don't have the proper preparation, they're not at the level where they can keep the other mitzvahs of the Torah? Ka'amram zal, as Chazal tell us, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Dafnun Chesom et Beis, Goy Sheshavas Chayiv Misa. If a non-Jew keeps Shabbos, he's subject to the death penalty. Again, just to be clear, not in a judicial sense, you know, he's not going to be stoned to death or anything like that, but, you know, from a heavenly perspective, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to hold him accountable for keeping Shabbos. So you see that a non-Jew is not allowed to keep Shabbos. And this shows us, says the Sfarno, that non-Jews in general are not ready, are not prepared to keep the mitzvahs of the Torah. They're only allowed to keep the seven mitzvahs and nothing beyond that. Now again, the Sfarno does not elaborate on this, But I think the implications of these few lines that you said, you know, require a lot of explanation and lend themselves to a lot of discussion. The Svarno implicitly is equating the non-Jew not being allowed to keep Shabbos with the non-Jew being excluded from keeping mitzvahs in general, besides the Shiva mitzvahs b'nei Noach. Well, so let me explain what I mean by that, and then we'll see why I think the statement of the Svarno is not at all obvious and lends itself to a lot of discussion back and forth. Okay, so the Gemara says that a non-Jew is not allowed to keep Shabbos, right? By the way, why does the Gemara say that a non-Jew is not allowed to keep Shabbos? It quotes a pasuk that implies, the way the Gemara reads the pasuk, that there's a specific prohibition against a non-Jew making a day of rest for himself, right? A religious day of rest for himself. Yomam v'layla lo yishposu. The way the Gemara understands that pasuk, day and night they should never rest in a ritual sense. So let's say a non-Jew comes to us. Let's leave the issue of conversion out of here for a minute, right? A non-Jew comes to us. You know, I've told the story here before. It was a Yom Kippur, maybe about 15 years ago. One of the local non-Jewish clergymen expressed an interest in coming a Kol Nidre night and seeing what it was all about. Okay? I guess he was a little surprised to see what we charge for tickets, but okay, you know, whatever it is. So let's say a non-Jew is not interested in converting. He comes and says, you know, I hear that that you have this holiday called Sukkot coming up. Right? How did you hear about it? Well, yeah, I was following Daf Yomi online. So I'm interested. Would you mind if I shake a lulav and esrog? So can a non-Jew shake a lulav and esrog? Is he allowed to? Is he prohibited from shaking a lulav and esrog? Is there a value to him shaking a lulav and esrog? You know, what's the story with that? Again, he doesn't want to convert. You know, let's leave that piece out of it. He just wants to shake a lulav and esrog. He heard that it's a very wonderful thing. So the implication from the Svarno seems to be that he really shouldn't shake the lulav and esrog. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose you, Klal Yisrael, to give you all the mitzvos. However, non-Jews are not muchanim uru'uyim lekach. They're not prepared. They're not ready to be able to observe the other mitzvos beyond the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. Nobody ever claimed that Lulav and Esrog is one of the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. It's not, right? So this is certainly beyond the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. And the Svarno seems to be using the fact that the non-Jew can't keep Shabbos as a paradigm. It's not specific to Shabbos. That's a paradigm. The same way that he can't keep Shabbos, he's excluded from keeping other mitzvahs that are not the Shiva mitzvahs B'nei Noach. So if he came to us and said, I'd like to shake a lulav and esrog, you know, however we'd finesse that, you know, on a practical level, we certainly should not encourage him to do so, and maybe we should even prevent him from shaking the lulav and esrog. In other words, what's true of Shabbos, according to the Svarno, is really true of all the mitzvahs that are not the Sheva mitzvahs B'nei Noach. All right, so you know, maybe you could argue that broadly defined, some of those mitzvahs might come, into the Sheva mitzvahs B'nei Noach in one way. But maybe even so, you know, maybe if he wants to, you know, even certain types of tzedakah, maybe he would be prohibited, you know, from being involved in, right? You have to see where you draw the line exactly. But one thing that's clear from the Svarno is that it goes beyond Shabbos, right? In other words, he uses Shabbos as an example, not as something unique, you know, that there's something unique about Shabbos. Right. So what's his kavana over here? I don't know. So the Svarno isn't really clear, you know, what his kavana is. But it sounds like, again, in the terse language that we have in the Svarno, it sounds like his kavana doesn't really, you know, his intention doesn't really matter so much. In other words, you know, the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach are for him, and he's just not on a level to be able to really connect to the other mitzvahs. The other mitzvahs, these are just not for you. You know, it's kind of like, in a certain sense, trying to teach advanced calculus to a third grader, the average third grader, right? You know, what's his kavana? You know, is he doing it just for the AP, or is he doing it because he really loves the? What are we talking about? The third grader who can't do advanced calculus? You know, just nothing to talk about. It's not. It's apples and oranges. It just doesn't fit into his world. You know, so for the non-Jew spiritually, the other mitzvahs beyond the seven mitzvahs are just like they're out there. They're just, you know, off the table, so to speak. On the surface, the impression you get from the Rambam is very different than the impression that you get from this very, very short Svarna. The Rambam in the 10th perek of Hilchos Melachim discusses the laws that are relevant to a Ben Noach, and he writes as follows. I'll read a little bit in the Rambam. This is Perek Yud in the Rambam, Halacha Tes. Goy she'osak b'Torah chayiv misa. If a non-Jew studies Torah, so again, he's subject to the death penalty in a spiritual kind of sense, in a celestial kind of sense, not in a judicial sense. You know, they don't execute him. Lo yasok elu sheva mitzvot shelohen bilvad. The only thing that he's allowed to study is the study pertaining to the seven mitzvahs. You know, he can't sit down and, you know, he can't do daf yomi maseches sukkah. V'chein goy sheshovas afilu biyomi mosacho. So too, a non-Jew who observes Shabbos, even if he doesn't observe it on Saturday, he observes Tuesday as Shabbos. Im asa oso la'atzmo kimo Shabbos. If he keeps it like a Shabbos, chayiv misa. Right? So again, he's subject to the death penalty. He's not allowed to do that. Ve'in sarich lomar im asa moed la'atzmo. And it goes without saying that if he makes a yomtiv for himself also, he's not allowed to do that. Klolo sholdovar, the general principle is, ein manichin oso l'chadesh dos v'lasos mitzvos la'atzmon midaiton. Right? We don't allow him to make up a religion. We don't allow him to make up his own mitzvos, to perform mitzvos for himself on his own terms. Right? So he can't learn Torah, he can't keep Shabbos, he can't keep Yom Tovim, and he can't be mechadesh dos. He can't, you know, make up a religious activity for himself. What's that?
Is that an eighth mitzvah b'nei Noach?
Oh, so what? Yeah, so we'll have to figure out what's the basis of this. As we're going to see, I don't know if we'll get to it tonight, but as Rav Moshe Zatzal in his Igros Moshe asked the question, so what are we saying? There's an Isser Bal Tosif for a non-Jew? Right, that's the eighth mitzvah b'nei Noach, you know, that he's not allowed to add mitzvahs. Where did that come from? Right? So far, the Rambam very much discourages the non-Jew from being involved in mitzvahs, although he happens to mention two specifically, Talmud Torah and Shabbos. But then in what seems to be almost like a shift, in Halacha Yud, the Rambam writes as follows. Ben Noach shirat salasos mitzvah misha'ar mitzvah haTorah. If a Ben Noach wants to perform one of the other mitzvahs of the Torah, not Shabbos, not Talmud Torah, right? Lulav and Esrog, right? He wants to shake Dalad Minim on Sukkos. Kedei lekabel schar, and he wants to receive reward. You know, he's doing it because he wants to receive the reward in Shamayim for that mitzvah. Ein monin oso la'asos oso kilchosa. We don't prevent him from carrying out that mitzvah in the proper fashion, right? He wants a dairy lulav? Fine, go ahead. You know? Vimhevi ola, if he brings a burnt offering to the Beis HaMikdosh, mekablim imenu, we accept it from him. Nosan tztaka, right, to Yossi's point from before, if he wants to give tztaka, mekablim imenu, we accept it. We accept it from him, right? So that's okay. He's allowed to do these other mitzvos. There are two things that seem to emerge from this Rambam on the simple reading of the Rambam. Number one, the Rambam seems to distinguish between the non-Jew performing the mitzvos of Talmud Torah and Shabbos, which he totally says he can't do, versus other mitzvos, where it sounds like the non-Jew is able to carry out those mitzvos. Right? So right off the bat, that seems to be very different from the way the Svarno is presenting it. The Svarno uses the example that the non-Jew is not allowed to keep Shabbos as an example that he's removed from performing the other mitzvos other than the Sheva mitzvos B'nei Noach in general. According to the Svarno, Shabbos is just an example, right? It's the most obvious example of a mitzvah that he's not allowed to perform, but he couldn't do Dalet Minim either. He can't like Hanukkah Licht either. He can't, you know, blow shofar and Rosh Hashanah either. He's removed from all of these mitzvahs. It sounds like, according to the Svarno, we would prevent him from doing these mitzvahs. According to the Rambam, there's something unique about Shabbos, there's something unique about Talmud Torah, but if he wants to do the other mitzvahs, sounds like, you know, there's no problem from the Rambam's perspective. More than that, and here's the second thing in the Rambam, that also on the surface would be utterly at odds with the Svarno. The Rambam seems to imply that if the non-Jew wants to perform these other mitzvos, he gets reward in Shamayim for doing these other mitzvos. What was the lashon of the Rambam? Ben Noach shirav salasos mitzvah mishaar mitzvah ha-Torah. If the Ben Noach wants to perform one of these other mitzvos, not Shabbos, not Talmud Torah, but he wants to shake the lulav on Sukkos, kidei lekabel schar, in order to receive reward, ein monin oso la'aso so. We don't prevent him from doing so. The implication of the Rambam seems to be that he wants to perform the mitzvah of Dalet Minim or Shofar, whatever it happens to be, in order to receive reward. And indeed, he will receive reward. In other words, his understanding is that he will get reward for doing these mitzvahs. And he gets reward. We know Chazal tell us that Godol HaMitzvah V'Oseh, that if you do a mitzvah when you're obligated to do that, that you get a greater reward than the person who's not obligated to do the mitzvah. Okay, but the implication of that chazal is also that if you do the mitzvah and you're not obligated, you're an anal mitzvah v'osa, you do get reward. You don't get as great a reward, but you get reward. So on the surface, the Rambam is just following through on that idea from chazal, namely that when the non-Jew performs these mitzvahs voluntarily, he'll get reward for doing these mitzvahs. He gets points, you know, for shaking the lulav, for sitting in the sukkah, whatever it happens to be. That idea seems to be utterly foreign to the Svarno's perspective. The Svarno is saying, what makes you, Klal Yisrael, unique is that you were given all of the mitzvos. The other nations are not prepared or fit to perform these other mitzvos. It doesn't sound like he's saying they're not prepared or fit to be obligated in the mitzvos. They're removed from these mitzvos altogether. It sounds like, this, again, it's not explicit in the Svarno, but it sounds like the Svarno would say, the very notion that a non-Jew potentially could be rewarded for doing these mitzvos is just absurd. It's, you know, he has no connection to these mitzvos whatsoever, not even as an eino mitzvah v'osa, not even as someone who's not commanded in doing them. On the surface, the Rambam and the Svarno seem to be, you know, very much at odds on the question of the non-Jew observing mitzvos other than Shabbos and Talmud Torah. However, for those who are here tomorrow, we'll pick up tomorrow, Be'ezus Hashem, we'll see that Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal has a very different understanding of this Rambam, one that, interestingly enough, brings the Rambam much closer to the Svarno. I don't think it's the prevalent understanding of this Rambam, but certainly it would bring the Rambam very much into connection with the Svarno. He writes it both in his Dibros Moshe and in the Igros Moshe, and we'll see that tomorrow, and we'll see how that might bring the Svarno and the Rambam potentially a little bit closer to one another. Okay, Rabbi Chananel ben Akasha, Omer Ratzah, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Lezakos, Es Yisrael, Lefikach, here.